about chanting Mahamantra. Mahabharata, yes. How do you know? Did I say this? Okay.
I think she was surprised.
Say no, the results are different, and then the third verse in this triple gives us the synthesis, because this says that yes, if you combine the two processes, you achieve the perfection by the negative, by the ignorance of fear, by knowledge of the relative, you destroy the ignorance or the temporary, destroy the death, breaking the national routine as well. And by cultivating knowledge, or by cultivating worship of the Absolute, you achieve the immortality. So how is it connected to our special treat today, Tulsi, with sandal paste? Can you make the mental acrobatics connect? Let's give the analogy. Sandal cool down. So is there something we need to cool down? Material desires, okay, and Tulsi is full of flavor and gives us the flavor, the taste of spirit. So how do we connect this with these pairs? So okay, Vidya will be like Tulsi, and Avidya or temporary will be like what? In this example? So, Vidya and Absolute is the positive, the positive taste, and the negative. Sandalwood, destruction of the temporary material. Very good. That's the whole idea of it. Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Do you know where we chant the Om? Sanskrit, it's the A. So Vasudeva is Vasudeva, and Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. Or Shura is the name of the king, and Shaura will be, or Shauri will be the son of Shura. So Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. So Vasudeva is the pure state of consciousness.
Possible to reach.
In which it is possible to reach. to reach Krishna. Then Krishna can appear. Yeah, that's very important. Vasudeva is the deity of consciousness and transcendental consciousness. Among the four expansions, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Niruddha, and Pradyumna, the three rule the three modes, and also the false ego, the mind, and the intelligence. But Vasudeva rules the transcendental consciousness. So you want transcendental consciousness, pure consciousness, beyond ego, beyond the ego. So that's why we pray to him.
May Lord Chaitanya, by whose grace a complete fool all of a sudden can gain all knowledge, be merciful unto me. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Anybody remembered about an exercise? Who remembers? You tried doing that? So you meditated on some qualities of Krishna. Did you feel your japa was improved by that?
Yes,
it has more direction.
Yeah,
more gives more
okay.
Feeling of not being so lost.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some connection. Yeah, very good. Also, maybe you remember when we were discussing Krishna in Ishupanishad, and those that are written, you also felt some warming in the heart, isn't it? When we speak about Krishna personally.
Krishna has so many qualities. He was not
All right, very good. And did you try to see Krishna in others? So who has some positive experience from this exercise? Anybody? Oh, very good. We are trying to practice is teaching us, and sometimes even just telling to ourselves, okay, Krishna is that person, Krishna is that person. Just saying these words sometimes can switch the direction of our thoughts. At least it helps us to change our mood to a more positive, more respectful, sometimes more kind. Yeah. So this is the idea of Sri Ishupanishad. So first we have Om Purnam Adah Purnam, mentioning the nature of the Absolute, that everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. Three realities discussed in Ishupanishad, and you can see that none of them is denied. None of them. Each and every philosophy speaks of the three things. There are only three things Sambandha. Okay, so this all three are connected to Sambandha. They all three are part of Sambandha. So what all three things and every philosophy discusses?
What is Sambandha?
Love. Physics, okay. Physics, dealing, yes? ego, for consciousness, also for allergy, or consciousness, and this is Bhakti, or unconscious matter. So any philosophy discusses just these three things. Try it. There is no philosophy that in one way or another touch on these three things. And we also know, as you know, from five topics of the Bhagavad Gita, what is the connection between what binds jiva with matter? Karma.
Yes, very good.
Karma. And karma can be stopped. Alright, how does Krishna control or start the time? Yes, time, or kala in Sanskrit, kala, time. Okay. And then we have a beautiful part. These five are sambandhyam. This is the reality. Five, yes. Then there is the sixth topic, which is the method and the result, which is bhakti. Which is the method and also the result, which is love. Love for Godhead, which is also everything. So if you know this, you know everything. So just these three things encompass everything. And every philosophy, in one way or another, describes these three things. And you can see, Ishopanishad, how it is present in the first mantra. Om Ishavasa, Dham Sarvam, Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Tikana Gunjita, Madhyadakasya Siddhana. So, God is where? In the first mantra? Which word? Then matter is in this mantra is what? In the first mantra? Yes. Sarvam, idam sarvam. This is very common in Sanskrit. Idam, this. So you have this and idam sarvam. And where do you have jiva? Myself. Jiva. So where is it in the mantra? Is it mentioned or is it implied? Implied means it's meant.
By him.
By him means by the Lord. Given by him. Enjoyed given what is given by him. So where do we have jiva in that? You're correct, but I don't know if you have here. Ishavasyam, it's controlled and known by Isha, Vidam Sarvam, all this. So tena tektena gunjida. So where do we have jiva? What does it mean? Yes, and how do we have jiva there? It is the word directed to jiva. Yeah? So you enjoy offering by him. So this mantra is directed to jiva. So you, yeah, you do like this. You know that, and knowing this, act like this, according to the principle of Ishavasya. So the first mantra already has all three. Also, Om Purnam Ada, Purnam Idam, Purnat. Purnamadachare, Purnasya Purnamade, Purnamavashishi. there is I, who is conscious, there is consciousness, then there is unconscious, unprotesting matter. Unconscious, that is passive. And we also have some laws, some control, superior control, which create obstacles or good luck, whatever, depending on the situation. So we all experience that all three exist. Right? Even a child knows that three exist. There is consciousness, there is unprotesting matter, and there is also some controlling power. Personified as our parents sometimes. So if we had bad experience with parents, we will have some doubts. Oh, you're 10 minutes ahead of time. Controlling power, consciousness, and unconscious matter. However, if you take materialism, materialism says that only matter exists, and consciousness is a product of matter, and God is a fantasy of consciousness. So basically, they reduce our experience to only one of these three. Impersonalists or Mayavadis, they say that only this exists, only consciousness exists. And matter, God is the same as consciousness, we are all God. And matter is just, again, some kind of a fantasy or a dream of the consciousness. So basically they say only this exists. Okay? And only Vaishnava philosophy accepts all three things that we experience, that everybody experiences. And this is the great beauty of Vaishnava philosophy. You don't have to deny everything. And it gives a perfect explanation of the reality. So all three categories exist, and all three are real. All three are real. You can see that all three are. Where is my board? Here? Here, the board here.
Yes.
So, throughout Ishupanishad, just as we read yesterday, Shiva writes that nowhere in Ishupanishad we find that the reality of these is denied. You remember? We read it in the purport. By reading all over Ishupanishad, throughout the text where we read, nowhere do we find. Yeah. This, in my book, it's 88. Of, this is in the purport to 12. Mantra 12. Somewhere in the middle. Thus far, we have not come across any mantra in Sri Ishopanishad in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead is denied, nor jiva, nor matter. Right? So Ishopanishad does not deny any of these. So this is the explanation. Establishes the principle, already has the three things, unifies the reality. So the first mantra establishes this sambandha and already establishes the proper way of acting to make us free. It establishes that the world is the controller and the enjoyer, so we should be tyaktena, we should be detached, we should give all the matter that is given to us to the Lord, and whatever comes as His mercy, that we enjoy or we use as our quota. But you don't stop work, because not just by stopping work we become free, as we discussed. So immediately Upanishad corrects our mistake number one as spiritualists, that we think I should, you know, if I don't want to enjoy, just drop any work, stop any work. No, Upanishad says no, you can work, and moreover, it establishes the principle of responsibility, that we are responsible, we are souls. This is divine philosophy of responsibility, and those who shirk, who reject responsibility, it's usually demonic philosophy. And then mantras 4 and 5 describe the qualities of this Isha. 6 and 7 describe the loving vision, how to see Krishna inside of everything and outside of everything, which is similar to these two, that he is the controller and the owner or enjoyer of everything. So everything is in him, so that means it's his. And he is in everything, which means he controls everything. His two causes, efficient and material, and thus we can surrender both our desires either to enjoy or to control. And why? And then we have this loving vision. And why this? And then what are the three results of this loving vision? You remember? What are the three results? See Krishna become free from the time and space. No anxiety, fear, no fear, no illusion, and no meditation. And how is it possible? Mantra 8 says it's possible because we meditate on Krishna, and Krishna is Himself. He's pure, he doesn't have material body, no anxiety, he's all powerful. By meditating, we become also like that. So, and then we have 6 mantras tweaking our practice, describing the dangers on the path of practice. Shocker mantras. We have a simple translation, but the literal, the direct translation. Absolute, you go to an even worse hell. And then this in parampara, again we can learn that we can achieve a different result. And then the third mantra gives us the synthesis of both vidya vidya or worship of relative or balance. Let's chant the Sanskrit together. Sambhutim cha vinasam cha yastad vidubhayam saha vinasena mrityum tirtva sambhutya mritam asmute. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna and His transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes, as well as the temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it. And in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. This is a very expanded translation together with some commentary. The direct translation is that one who knows both the relative and the absolute together, simultaneously,
relative and the absolute. By the relative, knowledge of the relative, he conquers death, and by the absolute, he achieves immortality. So we need the synthesis, the union of both. So it's again Upanishadic language, which is meant to be a little bit mysterious, a little bit either contradictory, or it has, you know, we have to stop, you know, when we read a real Upanishad, when we read it, we have to make a pause and think, what does it mean? then we know it's Upanishad. We have something similar in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It also mentions Krishna is inside and outside, and Krishna is far, and he is very close. He's the source of all qualities, but he is free from all qualities. It's Upanishadic language. Also, Upanishad's love, in the Bhagavatam we have many passages, Upanishad's love to mix together Atma and Paramatma. They just speak about Atma without making a clear distinction sometimes. Actually, quite often. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur translates Shish Upanishad, he translates all these verses as applying both to Atma and Paramatma. So when even these qualities of Krishna, he translates as verses 4 and 5, he translates as applying both to the soul and super soul, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation. And then later we find out that there is a difference. Even though they are one, there's also a difference, because one is the Lord and the other is just a small particle. That's Upanishad, that's Upanishadic language. So it has to give us a pause. Prabhupada translates this as a preaching book. And this was one of the first books he ever translated. It was published in Back to Godhead before he came to the West. I think it was 1956 or something when he actually first published it. And therefore, you can see that he makes it in a more gentle and simple way to understand for an outsider. But he gives word by word, so that if you want to have all the esoteric beauty, all the esoteric mystery of the Upanishad, you can have it. It's here. It's also here. And by the way, as far as I remember, in that first translation, he chose the more startling Überraschung translation. One who worships non-absolute goes to hell, and one who worships the absolute goes to hell. He didn't have impersonal there, which is quite startling. You know, now we have one who worships impersonal. Oh, okay, that's not me. That doesn't refer to me. So it's kind of very easy. Right? So this is a good translation for preaching. It's a good translation for selling on the street, and for an ordinary person to immediately read, and immediately he sees, okay, I should accept Krishna consciousness. But the Upanishad herself is very deep. It's very deep. Doesn't spare any shockers. On the contrary, it tries to stir us. It tries to surprise us. And that's often the style of the of teaching. Or sometimes to confuse. Sometimes teaching consists in confusing. You can see that Krishna did it with Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He, in the second chapter, he confuses Arjuna. But that's good, because otherwise Arjuna thinks he knows everything. Right? Arjuna thinks, I already know everything. But when he's confused, finally he gets some questions. He says, wait a minute, isn't there a contradiction here? You want me to stop? You want me to be a jnani? You want me to be a sage? Okay, I also want. But then you tell me to fight. So why do you want me to fight if you want me to be a sage and a jnani and develop knowledge? He's confused. Good. So that's a question. Thanks to these questions, now we have the whole Bhagavad Gita. Then he asks more and more questions. So sometimes confusion is a good part of learning. When we, as we mentioned, when we know that we don't know, we already know something. because usually we don't know, and we don't know that we don't know, and that's the problem, because there is no solution, because then we are satisfied that we don't know, but we think, yeah, I know. So sometimes Upanishad says something in such a way that we understand, wait a minute, what is this, how is this, and then we. Then the Upanishad says, okay, that's like that. And also the commentaries, very beautiful commentaries, so powerful. Madhvacharya, then Vedanta Deshika from Ramananda Sampradaya, Baldevedya Bhushan. Baldevedya Bhushan, a little bit technical, and he quotes Shankara quite a bit, surprisingly enough. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very sweet, and also very interesting commentary. So by the grace of Bhanuswami is such a benefactor of all the Bhakti Shastri students and teachers. He translates all the commentaries. He translated so many commentaries on the Gita, Shivishwanath, Shivbaladev. He has translated all the commentaries by Shivishwanath on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's already there. He translated Shivishwanath and Shijiva commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is amazing. These are unlimited treasures. These are such treasures to unlock. Incredible depth and beauty, and in the Shastra, we are so blessed. He's producing them so fast; it's incredible, and they are quite accurate. He doesn't have many mistakes. He's quite good. Honestly, it's amazing. Yeah. So with the commentaries, we can see this, and of course, Srila Prabhupada gives his commentaries, and you can see sometimes echoes of these commentaries in Prabhupada's translation. Although, as I mentioned, Prabhupada's purpose is to produce a preaching book, which is fairly easily understood, more or less, not too complicated. So just straightforward. Surrender to God, serve God, and that's the solution. But Upanishad is quite sophisticated, and it's enough not only... Sometimes we think, oh, Upanishad, Shivisha Upanishad is like for the beginners. But it's actually very elevated. She's one of the gopis in Krishna Lila. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about material time with six stages. What are the six stages of any material thing?
Coming
to being or birth?
Calling.
Growing?
Growing. Producing some byproducts.
Producing byproducts. Dwindling,
dying,
and for some time existing. Yes. So again, it's also the mystic or oriental or sacred idea of time. It goes in cycles, right? Whereas Western idea of time is linear, it just goes in one direction. And once it's gone, hopeless. Even though modern physics, they have some interesting ideas. They still have some ideas about circularity, but that's rare, bordering on mysticism. So this mantra speaks about vinasha or destruction. Madhvacharya, how he explains this verse. I will read it in a moment. Now I well, it starts with the extremes and bad results. It is the conclusion of these verses. This synthesis or balance mantra. So one who works in such consciousness before, but there is such consciousness. Such consciousness meaning detached and apart. This is a description of the dangers. So mantras 9 and 12 describe the dangers. Maybe either
neglectful of spiritual part, or you can be neglectful of the material part. So, Madhvacharya says this. Madhvacharya says that here, ignorance and destruction means the destruction of material qualities. Also, in describing the Bhagavatam. After describing prema, prema is described basically all the same words as mantras 6 and 7. See Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. That's loving vision, vision of love. And then it says, etava deva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmana anvaya vikyayam yatsyat sarvatasyavara. One should search for this, asking about this until one reaches that state of loving vision. Directly and indirectly. And directly is vidya or absolute, and indirectly is avidya or relative, destroying the anarthas, removing the obstacles. That's indirect. Yes. From the first set of mantras and from the second set, that's relative and absolute. She knew how to go up the stairs, and she would find me, and she might make a little sound, and then back the tail. So okay, then I there, then I remember, oh my, I should go to basement. So then I said, my basement, and you know, like dogs do when they are surprised, she looks like this. This, I said, well, you are Vrijbasi, but I should offer respects to Krishna in your heart at any rate. So this Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, so I should offer my respects to you. So then she made it on. Give me some breath. Nice. Pray about becoming gopis in the 87th chapter of the Bhagavatam. You can see she's very personal.
But like generally, what's the service of these Shruti Kar gopis?
They are mentioned as Shruti Chari gopis. There are different kinds of gopis that enter Krishna Lila. One category is Shruti Chari gopis. So
personified Shrutis. Shrutis means Upanishads. And they are just copies. So they are sakis of Krishna. They're usually like sakis of Krishna, friends, girlfriends of Krishna. That's what it may be. That's very elevated. So we have the association. But you see, just as a wife or as a girlfriend, she will not go around and describe. She will not describe some intimate details of her husband. She will speak about his glories, she will speak about his powers, or in general, isn't it? So here also she describes, she tells how to approach him, and she gives everything. She describes his glory. And then she gives something a little bit more intimate at the very end, the prayer, please guide me. Oh, you who are like fire, you know my heart, please. Remove the obstacles and guide me to you. And that's the end. Any other questions? So if we have no more questions, do you need to transfer anything? You need to transfer. Okay. So then.
Secret
subcourse only for those present here.